From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, August 28, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
A new group seeking to mobilize Black Mainers to vote and volunteer for the Democratic presidential ticket kicked off its fall campaign in Portland on Wednesday. Ari Snyder has more.
Black Mainers for Harris Walls plans to canvass, phone bank, and turn out voters of all backgrounds to support Democratic candidates up and down the ballot. Maine's House Speaker Rachel Talbot Ross helped create the group. At a press conference in Portland, she said the group is open to Mainers of all identities, but seeks to create a political home for Black voters.
Black Mainers for Harris creates a space for dialogue, organizing, and action, where Black Mainers can engage directly with a campaign that values us, that sees us, that hears us.
Talbot Ross says volunteers will focus much of their energy on Maine's highly competitive 2nd Congressional District, where a congressional seat and an electoral college vote are up for grabs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has officially removed his name from Maine's election ballot. Kennedy suspended his independent campaign last week and endorsed former President Donald Trump. A spokesperson for Maine's Secretary of State said the Kennedy campaign had filed a formal request to withdraw from the ballot prior to the deadline on Tuesday evening. Kennedy is an environmental attorney and the leader of a prominent anti-vaccination group. He was polling at roughly 2% in a recent survey of Maine voters conducted by the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. The Maine Department of Labor Wednesday released the second draft of its proposed rules for the state's new paid family and medical leave program that include clarifications and amendments based on public input received during a hearing earlier this summer. Luke Monahan, director of the Maine Paid Family Medical Leave Program, says feedback from a diverse group of stakeholders led to common sense changes that will make the program better for workers in Maine.
It's a complex program. It's a program that's going to affect almost all people or all workers in Maine. It's going to affect almost all businesses in Maine. You know, so the fact that we're able to integrate so much and, you know, come up with so many changes and hopefully, you know, make people feel heard in the process.
Among the changes, clarifications in the definitions of a family member, provisions regarding notice and undue hardship, and the process for substituting private plans for the state plan. The paid family medical leave program would allow employees to take up to 12 weeks of leave to care for children or a loved one with a serious health condition. A public hearing on the new rules will be held September 17th. The final rules must be established prior to January 1st, 2025. Maine's rapidly warming lakes are becoming incubators for invasive plants that can take over shorelines and crowd out native species. But even as climate change helps infestations spread, advocates say that not enough is being done to address the threat. As part of our series In Hot Water, Peter McGuire takes us to the Songo River, where the fight against invasives gets harder every year.
We left this last year looking pretty good, and now this year it's like full of milfoil.
Michael Flannery pilots his barge into the bayou, a narrow dead-end channel where the Songo River empties into Sebago Lake. Beneath and between boats crammed against the shore, variable leaf milfoil spreads in thick mats. It's the most common and problematic aquatic invasive plant in Maine.
And we've been working already this year. We've removed like a couple thousand pounds of milfoil already, and it's still just starting.
Flannery leans overboard and hooks a 5-foot-long piece of milfoil floating in the water. It only takes a fragment stuck on a boat hull or propeller to transfer the infestation to other bodies of water.
And so that's one of the reasons why it's so like difficult to contain, because an inch-long piece of that stem will spread the, like, will root a new plant.
Flannery manages the invasives program for Lakes Environmental Association, which suppressed a milfoil infestation in the Songo River over 2 decades. But it seems harder to stay on top of every year, says Association Director Colin Holm.
The ice is gone in early March. the lake is going to warm up quicker. The stuff is going to start growing. So we have milfoil growing early season. It grows later into the season. There was reports of milfoil still growing vibrantly in late November last year.
With a far longer growing season than in the past, invasive plants spread more aggressively than ever. Just a few days before, the surface water temperature on Long Lake, which drains into the Saco, hit 87 degrees, a record high. Holm points to a patch of milfoil flowering above the water, an indication of how fast it's spreading.
Most years it didn't flower, and when it did flower, it was a big thing. We'd go down, we'd photo document it, and now it's flowering most years. This year it started flowering in June, which is unheard of. Usually flowering is late July and August.
Dense canopies of milfoil and other invasives can ruin a shoreline for native species and for boating, swimming, and fishing. Infestations can drive down property values and tourism spending. John McFedrin with the Maine Department of Environmental Protection says once an invasive plant sets in, it's nearly impossible to eradicate and expensive to contain.
While the threats that come with the longer growing season are a real challenge, I think we're in good stead to try to manage those the best we can.
But Maine is still better off than a lot of other states further south, McFedrin says.
We still have a lot to protect in Maine. Other states have, I think, a much higher percentage of their water bodies that have some sort of aquatic invasive species.
But the bulwark against the spread of unwelcome species is starting to buckle. Courtesy boat inspectors form the first line of defense by helping vessel owners at public launches check to make sure they're not transferring invasives. Now that boaters are out on lakes longer into the season, the network is struggling to keep up. Sharon Mann runs the invasives program for Seven Lakes Alliance in Belgrade.
The boat launches are very, very busy in the fall. That's when there's a lot of bass tournaments and just a lot of people enjoying leaf peeping season and all those things.
She says public funding for courtesy inspectors is minuscule. And after high school and college students hired to monitor public launches leave around Labor Day, the group struggles to find replacements.
You know, we have ads posted year round for courtesy boat inspector, but there's just isn't anyone to hire outside of Memorial Day to Labor Day. And it really scares me how many boats are going uninspected in and out of these launches.
Back on the Songo, Colin Holm from Lakes Environmental Association shows off a long section of river that has been mostly cleared of milfoil after years of effort.
It's a success story in my mind, and we're so lucky we started when we did, because I think if we started now, the water's so warm, I don't think we could get a handle on it.
Success doesn't come cheap. His group budgets around $200,000 a year for invasive work. A state grant pays for a quarter. Fundraising has to cover the rest.
It's just not easy, and people don't understand how much it actually costs.
Lawmakers recently increased boat registration fees to boost funding for the statewide invasives program by 60% to almost $3 million next year. Holm just hopes people also start doing more to prevent further infestations before it's too late. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Tomorrow, in the final part of our series In Hot Water, we'll look at how powerful storms driven by climate change pose increasing pollution concerns for Maine's lakes and ponds. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us for Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.